This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 17.
And it was just the most fabulous experience to be able to work with these women who have absolutely nothing but the trash at their doorstep, literally. And these women have been able to turn the skills that I gave them into a business.
Welcome to A Sustainable Mind podcast, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Sarah Wiener is the founder and owner of Sarabella, where she upcycles plastic bags into wearable art, including handcrafted totes and coats that grace the runways of fashion shows, to beautiful wallets, kitchen aprons, and other everyday accessories. Sarah is also a lifelong athlete, adventurer, and storyteller. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you.
It's so lovely meeting you, and I've heard such amazing things, not just about you, but about your bags, which I've looked up on your site and on Instagram, so I hope that all of the listeners can actually get a chance to check your site out at sarabella.com. I want to get a little bit of a brief introduction into who you are and the role that nature and the environment played in your life as a child. Can you tell us about that?
Actually, I kind of had to do that on my own. I come from an East Coast Jewish family who never went camping a day in their lives, never slept in a sleeping bag or climbed a mountain. So somehow, I don't know where I got it, but somehow along the way, when I was probably an older teen or young adult, I developed a need to be in the outdoors. And again, I just don't even know where that came from, but The way I got started was by signing up for a wilderness education class through Knowles, which is the National Outdoor Leadership School. Mm-hmm. And it was for a 30-day ski experience in the Chugach Mountains of Alaska.
Wow.
Which really was incredibly stupid because, you know, who goes to Alaska and has to carry 80 pounds on their back on skis the first time they ever go into the wilderness? So I kind of jumped in a big way, but from that moment on, I really never stopped loving being in the outdoors. I had always been an athlete, very athletic, because that was my strength growing up. I was a better athlete than my two older brothers, and so that was the only way that I could hold my own around them, and they were much more academic and intellectual, and I got my attention as a good athlete. So I sort of took the competitive nature of my athleticism out and turned it into more of a love of the outdoors. And just continue to enjoy being outside, whether it's on skis or hiking or on the water, paddling somewhere, or just loving the outdoors. And yeah.
That's awesome. So Sarabella, your company, which we'll get into in a second here, was born out of not only your relationship and respect for this planet, which we just learned a little bit about how you were able to foster that relationship with nature as a young person, but also your family legacy. Tell us about the history behind the name Sarabella.
Okay, so the name Sarabella came from my own name plus my grandmother's name. My maternal grandmother was Bella Michelle, and she taught me how to sew when I was a little girl and continued to teach me sewing really until her death. So, you know, I sewed with my grandmother a lot over, you know, about 20 years.
Wow.
And she was probably, I mean, really the most important person in my life. She was my ally and my confidant and my most respected person. I adored her and loved to listen to her stories and loved to just sit next to her and sew together and drink black tea with milk in it and eat her home-baked Oma cookies, we called them. Oma is German for grandmother, and so we called her Oma.
Mm-hmm.
So my first business that I developed was called Sarabella Custom Outdoor Wear. And that I did for 14 years, and I was designing and manufacturing clothing out of Polar Tech Polar Fleece. And it was all outerwear, so jackets and pants and hats and mittens and those kinds of things. And they were for babies all the way to adults. And each piece was unique until I got into the wholesaling of it, at which point then I started to mass produce them. But anyway, that was the first business I started and the first time I used the name Sarabella.
So in the first incarnation of Sarabella, it was not based on the idea of upcycling.
Correct.
Consumer waste. What was the transition or what was the inspiration for moving in that new direction?
So I closed down the Sarabella custom outdoor business. And then I spent a couple of years, and that was mostly because I just got priced out of the rental retail market. It was just too expensive to rent storefront in Bend, Oregon. So I decided to transition and spend two or three years, going back and forth to Africa to work on developing some sewing programs for young women in an occupational high school. And I also developed a cyber cafe in a village in Kenya, in a village that had never had internet service before. So my back and forth to Kenya and Tanzania led me to, believe it or not, that's part of what inspired me. So it's such a mess over there with plastic bags floating around in the mud, in the dirt, in the waterways. It's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all have seen it, whether we're in Africa or in this country for that matter. We've seen that plastic bags are just everywhere. And they're everywhere that we don't want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pollute our beautiful environment and our view of nature. And I think what happened is when I came back from Africa, my last time, as it turned out, from doing the development work over there, and a friend of mine just sort of flippantly said, oh, did you know you can iron plastic bags? And I just thought, what? What are you talking about? And she said, you can make fabric out of plastic bags. And there's this guy on YouTube who takes garbage bags and irons layers of them together and makes messenger bags. And her son had discovered this. And I said, oh, really? That's really interesting. And the minute she left my house, I ran into my studio at home, pulled out the ironing board, an old iron, and a bunch of plastic bags we had around the house. And I just started messing around with it and just experimenting with it. And it was like the light bulb just went on. And I realized that there was this merging of my love of creativity and art with wanting to take care of the environment and to change something about how trash is viewed in our world. So that's where it came from. I mean, I don't know if it was coincidental that I had just come back from Africa and saw the mess over there, but I think what I learned from, you know, having been to Africa several times and having been a fiber artist and designer, that garbage and sewing could actually go together.
Yeah.
And that there was something out there that I could figure out and do with all this excess garbage and plastic bag
litter.
Was this something that you were able to, I don't want to say introduce people to in the community where you lived in Africa, but the fused plastic, was that mm-hmm. something that you have been able to take back since then? Or is it a technology that they're using there to kind of deal with the plastic waste?
Well, it's a really great question. And what I figured out pretty quickly was that I really needed to use my skills and the very simple, quote, technology of making fabric mm-hmm. out of plastic bags with my love of working with developing countries and people in developing countries and women in particular. And so it became really clear pretty quickly that I needed to be teaching this. And I started looking into ways that I could do that. And people kept, I was thinking of setting up a 501c3 and see if I could get grant money. And unfortunately, at the peak of me, you know, thinking of doing this work abroad, it happened to be the economic, you know, fall, the crisis here. Mm-hmm. But, and everybody in the philanthropic world of, you know, nonprofits were telling me, don't do it, don't do it. This is a really bad time. Nobody has money. Don't bother. And so I kind of put it on the back burner. And then about a year later, I got a call out of the blue from a woman who found out about what I do. And she happens to be from Ashland, Oregon, which is only 3 hours from here. And she just said, hey, I know what you do. And I want you to teach this to the Guatemalan women who live at the dump in Guatemala City. And I have a contact for you. And she said, basically, I will pay for your ticket if you will go down and teach. And it was sort of like this, you know, dream come true, just out of the blue shows up on my telephone. And so, of course, I went. And I actually took my daughter and a good friend of hers with me so that they could be my translators mm-hmm. and help me teach these women. And it was just the most fabulous experience to be able to work with these women who have absolutely nothing but the trash at their doorstep, literally and physically. And these women have been able to turn the skills that I gave them into a business through this organization that they are a part of, called Safe Passage is the English translation of it. Safe Passage is a nonprofit that runs a wonderful program down in Guatemala City for these women and their children. Prior to the Guatemala experience, I did pursue this idea of taking it abroad on my own to try it out. And, you know, I paid for it myself. I didn't have any sponsors. But I did have a connection in a place called San Pancho, Mexico, otherwise known as San Francisco, Mexico. It's a nonprofit there called Entre Amigos. And I had some friends that were working with them down there. And I said, hey, how about I come down and teach how to do this process? And so I flew myself down and did that. And that was sort of like my trial run. And it was very well received. Although I don't know that the follow-up, I don't think, was quite as successful as it has been in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm. In all of the work that you've done with these communities abroad, what do you feel like these people that you went to teach have actually taught you about not only humans' relationship with nature, but our relationship with each other? What have you learned from them?
Well, I've learned a lot about not taking things for granted. That's for sure. These women that we worked with in Guatemala really taught me how they can take such a small amount of something or literally trash straight out of the dump and turn it into something beautiful and do it with grace and smiles on their faces. They taught me that even with nothing, they give and give and give. And they gave to me, they gave to my daughter and our friend Ella. They could not have been more appreciative and excited by this new skill that we helped them gain.
Mm-hmm.
And it just taught me, you know, it was like a whole other level of passion. Passion for this thing that I love to do as an art form, passion for the environment, but even bigger passion for these women and their lives and how they live them, and their grace and generosity with how they shared themselves with us, who are, you know, three white, privileged North American women.
What exciting is coming up for Sarabella?
The newest change for Sarabella is that we've just relocated the shop, and we've moved into the middle of downtown Bend on the main street called Wall Street, right across from the Tower Theater. And you hear, you know, location, location, location. Well, finally, I got it. I got the location that I needed. And the way I got it is I approached a friend of mine who owns a well-established shop in downtown Bend and said, hey, you know, I've noticed your shop's looks a little bit lean of product. You know, what's going on? And when she explained that it was just too expensive to keep it full of product because it's such a large space, I asked her if she'd be interested in me moving in with her and moving my manufacturing as well as my retail sales into her shop and sharing the rent. And she was all about it. She was thrilled with the idea, and we spent 3 weeks totally revamping her shop and creating a new space for me within her shop. And the fortunate thing is I'm now in a great location with tons of traffic, and I'm going to get much better visibility than I was getting before, and shockingly not paying very much more than I was paying to be invisible. And that's just good luck with a great landlord. But the space is so tiny that I'm working in now that I can't accommodate classes. And what I've told people that ask about classes is if you pull together 6 or 8 friends to do a 2-hour class, I will do a custom class any day at any time, and I can use a space that's like a party room that this business that I've joined up with keeps in the back of the shop. So I really do have the space if I get people who want to take classes.
Awesome.
But that was a very long-winded way of telling you the question. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But in terms of what in the future for Sarabella, or what I'm looking forward to,
mm-hmm.
is I'm really looking forward to spending a summer in this new space and seeing the tourists come in and see what I can do as a business, because I don't feel like I've ever really had the opportunity in Bend to see what this business can really do in terms of sales. And I'd love to make it profitable. Anyway, and then besides that, I do art shows, and I tend to do pretty high-end art shows. Although I don't call my products high-end art, those are the shows where I do best in, and they tend to be very competitively juried to get into. But because I'm in a textile and wearable art category, I've been able to squeeze my way into some great shows. And that's where I do my primary sales, is at shows, and they're mostly in the summer. And I did just get into a very prestigious show in Bellevue, Washington, that's at the end of July, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Fused plastic, which is the technology that you use, and mm-hmm. upcycling in general, do you mm-hmm. feel like this art, which your bags are beautiful, these designs are amazing, when people have a chance to go to your site and to Instagram to see what this stuff looks like, they'll know what I'm talking about, but do you feel like upcycling is an effective way of getting people who would not necessarily otherwise be interested in going green or being more earth conscious in their consumerism? Do you feel like upcycling, like upcycled art and fashion, is an effective way of kind of getting those people on the bandwagon?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, and I'm not sure I know the answer to it, but I think that there's maybe two answers. One is that people who become intrigued with my work are often already on the bandwagon mm-hmm. of being environmentally conscious, trying to be green, at least doing recycling in their homes. Maybe they drive a Prius, things like that. Then I would say that is the minority population that actually is fully attracted to my work because of the source of what it is, or because it is upcycling trash, turning it into something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feeds their already motivated self to be more green. And then they feel good about it. They feel good about buying something that is considered green and environmentally sustainable. And then the other side of the coin is, I hope that the people that haven't really joined the bandwagon, the green wagon, when they do come in and see what I'm doing and what the work is all about, that might get them thinking, hey, I've heard of this term upcycling. I've seen it before. I don't really know what it means, but I just found out from Sarah. That's a really cool concept. Maybe that's going to open their eyes. You know, maybe it's just a launching off point or the beginning of, you know, that old saying where you have to see an ad a certain number of times before it even computes.
Right.
You remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my hope is that people that come in and are educated about what Sarabella is all about and what we do, that might be their first or their seventh, you know, experience with the word upcycling. And that, you know, it's just contributing to their trajectory into the green world. And we can just hope, right?
Absolutely.
One of the things that's really important to me, and it's always been my business model, is to do my work, my actual manufacturing and construction of the products in front of the public.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had that model, even when I did the custom outdoor wear business and continued that into the plastic bag business. So it's great because I'm in there working with my heat press, and I've got piles and piles of plastic bags sorted by colors, and I've got different tools. I've got the sewing machine there that my manager is running, you know, sewing away on, and people can watch. They see us doing it. And I think that's the other piece that's such a huge part of what I do and why I do it is, if you can see it, and I'm such an experiential learner
mm-hmm.
that I just assume, well, hopefully a lot of other people are going to learn experientially too and visually. And if they can see what we're doing it's going to stick with them.
Right.
Much more than if they just read an article in the newspaper about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You spoke earlier about some of the relationships that you'd fostered that resulted in you being able to go overseas and learn from mm-hmm. others as well as teach. Can you talk a bit about the relationships and the partnerships that you fostered over the years that have been instrumental in getting your business, Sarahbella, to where it is right now?
So the first instance that I mentioned where I went over to Kibwezi, Kenya, to try to set up these sewing educational programs and also the internet cafe, I was a volunteer with a nonprofit based here in Bend called Nomad Charities, and it was with them that I ended up going over to Kenya a few times and did that work. So that was my first real, although I had been in Zimbabwe doing some work many years prior to that, this was really what sort of launched me into the more of the development work, so to speak. And so then after that, there was the connection in Santancho. A friend of my old contact, he's always worked for progressive social change mm-hmm. in our country, and he's the most articulate, well-written ally and advocate for minority rights and or civil rights and racial equality. He was the person who was down in Mexico doing work in this community with this Entre Amigos group. And it was he who really connected me with them and said, hey, why don't you come down and teach these women how to do what you're doing? So it was Scott Nakagawa is his name. And as a side note, I recommend you check out some of his writing. It's Scott with just one T. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the Guatemala connection came out of the blue. And that was just this amazing woman down in Ashland, Oregon, who called me and just said, hey, her name is Dolores. And she just called and said, hey, I'm a supporter of this group called Safe Passage, and they work with women that live in the dump, and they have school programs for the children, but they're really trying to build some programs for the women so they can have some projects where they can actually make some money for themselves and potentially move out of their situation. And, you know, I really want you to go down and teach them how to do this process. And like I said earlier, it's such a simple technology that I always tell people I can teach this anywhere in the world, even if there isn't electricity, if there's just an iron that you put hot coals in. All you need is an iron and a sewing machine, and that's it. And most developing countries have lots of treadle sewing machines around, so it's a very, very simple process.
Excellent.
And everyone has plastic bags.
No shortage of those, unfortunately, or no, fortunately, depending exactly. on how you look at it.
Yeah.
And I know that you talked earlier about what you'd learned from the women that you went down there to teach, but what mm-hmm. is one unexpected gift or benefit that you've received as a result of this entire experience since the founding of Sarahbella in its current incarnation to this point right now?
I think the thing that just keeps popping in my head is, and this isn't very profound, but when I was in Guatemala, the women just immediately started cutting out really cool shapes and designs out of the plastic bag fabric. And they were cutting out shapes and designs that I had never thought of. And of course, you know, every artist is going to draw differently or paint differently or do collage differently. So, I mean, I shouldn't have been surprised. But I think what surprised me was maybe that I hadn't thought of the things that they were thinking of in terms of design. And they fed my sort of bucket of design ideas so that I could go back home to work and create new designs inspired by them.
So now we are going to get into a bit of a lightning round. So can you share one long-standing habit that you believe has drastically improved your life thus far?
Communication, communication, communication.
Oldie but goodie, right? What is one new habit that you're cultivating in your life right now?
Not reacting.
Can you recommend a book to sustainable minds out there that can help them get a little bit more into the environmental mindset?
The book that I think of is a book of art, of upcycled products.
That's
or
cool.
Art. It's something like 101 upcycled products or 101 upcycled art or something like that.
Do you have any words or parting pieces of guidance that you can give sustainable minds out there?
I would say if you have a passion to do something sustainable or green or artistic, to just try it. Don't be afraid to try making or doing something that's new, but that might lead to something super cool. I guess there's so much that can be done with our everyday garbage, whether it's yogurt containers or Ziploc plastic bags or the bags that your trail mix comes in from Costco. Like there's just, or the bags that your dog food comes out of, or your chicken feed, that there's so much trash that we're all generating every day. And if you can just get creative and think about just something you can make with it, I think it's just an incredibly fulfilling thing to do. And if the listeners out there can't think of something, or they're like, oh, but I'm not creative or I'm not artistic, then grab a kid. Just grab your own kid, your neighbor's kid, your best friend's kid, and say, hey, let's play. Let's play with this garbage and make something, because they are the best at figuring stuff out of what to do. And our kids these days have been brought up in an upcycling and recycling world. So for them, it's nothing new. It's not like this big challenge. They're my best customers, really. It's the kids who really get it, what I do. And they're the ones who are telling their parents, come look at this. Come look at this. This is made out of plastic bags. So I guess that's my message, is do something with your garbage. And if you can't think of anything, ask a kid.
Excellent. Well, I think that that's wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us on the show today. I want everyone to go check out Sarah's wares at sarabella.com. That is sarabella.com. She is also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Definitely go follow her on Instagram. She's got some awesome designs that you guys can check out, and some stuff in her store at her website for you guys to buy.
One thing that I didn't tell you was how I do it. I totally teach it and tell everybody and show everybody. So it's not a secret. My feeling is the more people that upcycle plastic bags, the better for the environment. And my other thing I say is, when people say, oh my gosh, when they ban the plastic bag, what are you going to do? And I say, well, first of all, the bags that they ban are not even the ones I use. There's so many plastic bags out there,
yep,
that aren't the banned bags that it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And second of all, if for some reason I ran out of plastic bags to use, it would be a good day to go out of business.
Well put.
The way I do this, and anyone can do this at home, I just recommend that you buy a $5 iron at the thrift store, get a roll of parchment paper from the baking section at the grocery store, and a collection of people's bags from newspaper deliveries, and frozen fruit and vegetable bags, and bags from clothing boutiques, shoe stores, all kinds of shops. And just start by layering 2-3 layers of plastic bags on top of a towel or an ironing board or a piece of wood. And make sure you put the parchment paper underneath your layers of plastic and on top of the layers of plastic. And then iron on top of the parchment paper. That way the heat, the hot side of the iron doesn't touch your plastic. And if you move your iron back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, maybe 20 seconds with the iron set on a medium heat, you're going to find that those layers of plastic bags are going to be fused together into a very strong fabric that you can't rip, even if you tried. Then you just continue to add layers, or you cut out pieces of different colored plastic bags and do a collage. And then you put the parchment paper on top of that, iron on top of the parchment paper again, pull the parchment paper off, and then you'll see that you have a really cool looking piece of fabric.
Nice.
So the key is, don't make your iron so hot that it melts the plastic. Because then you'll not only ruin the plastic bags, but you'll have fumes, and you don't want fumes. Keep the heat as low as you can, but so that you can still get them to fuse together or laminate together and not create any fumes. And make sure you do it in a room with an open window or an open door, or in your garage to start out with, so that you're not getting any fumes from the bags if you happen to melt them by accident.
Wow. That is a very concise little tutorial there. I mean, I can totally imagine every step of the process. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to have to go home in the next couple weeks here and try that out myself. If you would like a better idea of Sarah's process of making waste plastic bags into something awesome and beautiful, head on over to asustainablemind.com or text the word download 17 to the number 323-536-1120, and we'll send you a link where you can download a free checklist and instructions.
One more little tidbit.
Sure.
People always ask me if you can use a regular sewing machine, a home machine. The answer is yes. You can sew this fabric together very easily. I use a denim weight needle. I use regular sewing thread, usually with some polyester in it so it's strong, and use a longer than usual stitch length so that you're not perforating the seams.
Right, right.
And that's it.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
So thank you so much, Sarah, again, for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Lots of great information, lots of great stories. And please, everyone that's listening, please go visit her at sarahbella.com.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
You've been listening to A Sustainable Mind podcast. To hear more interviews just like this one, please subscribe on iTunes or visit asustainablemind.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.